Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you be merciful to each and every one of us as we gather together in your name to study your word. I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel, and we can even see the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through our study, you open our ear that we can hide your word within our heart, so that we won't sin against you. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I would like to study the last chapter of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6, I talk about how should we behave as a children to our parents. And now I would like to talk about our relationship with our employer, just in case in the future when you go to work in the society, what should we do in order to be blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, before Paul talk about the relationship between slave and master, he talk about the relationship between children and parents. Etta, could you read that? Chapter 6, 1 to 4, the relationship between children. I mean, children is Christian children and parents, Christian parents. So in here, what did the Lord require the parents to do is not to exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. It is the parents' requirement to teach our children the word of God. So that's why the Bible is saying it is the parent's job to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I would like you to write down right beside chapter 6, verse 4. You write down Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Etta, could you read that? I want you to write Deuteronomy, right beside Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9. You write down Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4. And right beside Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, you write Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9. And in here, in the Old Testament, Moses spell out very clearly what should the parents do to their children. Could you read that? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
So, based upon this teaching, if we don't study the Isaiah, we don't know that. The Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Is a covenant that God make with his people. It is a covenant that the Lord make with his people. What kind of covenant? Is this an old covenant or it's a new covenant. This is a new covenant. The new covenant that the Lord make with his children. What is the new covenant? I want you to write down right beside Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 to 9. You write down Isaiah chapter 59 verse 20 to 21. The Lord make a covenant with those who repent, who turn around. And then when you turn around, you obey the word of the Lord, then God make a covenant with you. In verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them. That covenant is a new covenant. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my word that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouth of your children or from the mouth of their descendant from this time on and forever, said the Lord. So, what do I want you to write down? I say that one more time. I want you to write down right beside Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4. That is what the Lord require the children to do, and what did the Lord require the parents to do. It's a relationship between parents and children. And right beside Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, you write down equal to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9. And right beside that, you also write down Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20 to 21. This Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4. Now that we have made a covenant with our Lord God Almighty, and based upon Isaiah 59, verse 20 to 21. Ether, could you read that? In other words, the Redeemer is Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord will come to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. If we confess our sins and repent of our sins, then our Lord Jesus Christ will enter into our heart based upon what? Based upon Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. The moment we believe in the gospel, believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will enter into our heart. Once the Holy Spirit enter into our heart, the Lord make a new covenant with us. Once the Lord make a new covenant with us, He want to bless you and your children until 1,000 generations. And how can you be sure that the Lord will bless you until 1,000 generations? The requirement for you to do is, as a parent, you have to teach God's word to your children and instruct your children to teach his own children until 1,000 generations. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Based upon Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4 is a new covenant that the Lord make with your parents. And the Lord require your parents to teach his children. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4 is not a new teaching, because it has already been recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Right? As a parent, we need to teach our children not just during the Sunday worship, not just during the Sunday school. I heard the news that I forget where is it. It's in it is in U.S. And then some kid, they text messages to their friends, asking them to go to 7-Eleven and then to rob them and end up around 20, 30 people. Get inside the 7-Eleven because they receive the text message. They go to that particular store, and then they all enter in and take whatever they want and then get out. Because so many people, you know 7-Eleven. You only have one or two people to watch the store, right? They get 20, 30 kids to get in, grab the thing, and then go out. Now, if the children listen to the word of the Lord through their parents, through their parent teaching, they won't do that. All these young people, they think it's cool. Until they get caught and sent to jail, it is not cool. You receive a message like that and you follow them, it will lead you to death eventually. One of these days you'll get caught for that. And you're going to regret for the rest of your life. Just before we go out, I watched the news, and the news said that. I think 2 months ago, there's a riot in Vancouver and hasn't pledged any charges yet. But whereas in England, just last week, charges has already been laid. And people asking, what's wrong with the people in Vancouver? What's wrong with the judicial system in there? Okay? When you are 16, when you are 17, you think it's cool. By the time, when you want to go to New York, when you go to out of state, they find out they need a clearance. I remember when I was in U.S., I applied for the green card myself. They have to ask for a clearance. Police check. Okay? Within the last whatever years, okay? And if you are the one who participate in the riot, you get caught. You ruin your own future. A lot of stuff you cannot do. Do you understand? Obey to your parents. Do not do this kind of stuff. You think it's cool now. You know, they're joking, they're happy, you know, they're laughing, and they do it together. And no one catch them. All they see is, you know, all we see is from the video camera, right? We don't see the picture very clearly. But I don't know. In the parking lot, there's a video camera too. You know, when you drive your car out, they get your driver license. Remember that. When your friend texts you messages like this kind of friend, you got to cut it off. You understand? If you walk with them, you'll be one of them. They're going to drag you, and you'll be in deep trouble. You understand? Yeah. I also heard a lot of people, they thought, well, it's okay to take marijuana in U.S., as long as it's a small amount or whatever. And then they do that when they go to Asia, in Thailand and all that. When they get caught in the airport, you'll be sent to jail. If you walk with these kind of people and they take drugs, they have drugs in their hand and they pass on to you and you get caught, you ruin your own future. You understand? Nowadays, I find out we are living in a very, very dangerous time. And I found out the Bible teaching is very, very relevant to our today's society. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Why did Paul say that, obey your parents in the Lord? Why didn't he just say, obey your parents? When he say, obey your parents in the Lord, because your parent has to bring you up in verse 4. It is your parents' responsibility to bring you up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So whatever your parents say, as long as it is in conformity with the teaching of the Bible, you have to obey him. So as a parent, we should not teach our children anything other than what the Bible say. If you teach anything other than what the Bible say, you exasperate your children. Because not only you read the Bible, your children read the Bible too. You understand what I'm saying? And the other day, a few years back, I heard in the news, there's a parent, he thinks it's funny, she's smoking marijuana, and she gave it to her 2 or 3 years old boy to smoke that. You understand what I'm trying to say? It looks very funny, you know, in the video, but in real life, you get hooked to it, it's not funny. It's really bad. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's really sad. You know, I feel really sad of that, you know. I mean, these kind of sad things. I mean, this lady exasperate her children, her child, okay? I mean, what can I say? I mean, she even had the courage to videotape that and put it in the internet, you know, thinking it's funny. It's not funny. You understand what I'm trying to say? So as a parent, we should teach our children the word of the Lord. We shouldn't ask our children to follow the way of this world. As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgression in which you used to live as you follow the way of this world, right? And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? The evil spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is at work among those Christians, among us. At the same time, the evil spirit is working among those of your friends who are non-Christian. And we are in a battle, spiritually. So they will tell you to do things seems like very cool. But God telling you to do things is for your own good, for eternal value. And we are always at war in that. And you have to make a decision whether you're going to follow your friend or you're going to follow your parents' teaching. As for me, I want to follow my parents' teaching. It is for your own good. You understand what I mean? And to your friend, it's not cool. But eventually, you'll be very, very cool. Okay? When you get a good job, when you become successful, it's really, really cool. Am I right? So, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is a cool thing to do. This is the right thing to do. You know what? Whatever you do, if it's pleasing to the Lord will bless you left, right, and center. The Lord not only bless you, the Lord will bless you and your children until 1,000 generations. And as long as you abide by his teaching, to teach your kid and instruct your children to teach his own children. And instruct his own children to teach the great-grandchildren. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I pray to God, the moment before I die, I can talk to Joyce. And I make sure I talk to you, say, be sure you study the scripture and seek his face and understand his word. And then pass it on to your children. If you did that, and I will see you, and I will see your children in heaven. And you require your children to teach the children after them. You understand? Does it make sense? This is the covenant the Lord make with each and every one of us. So as a parent, if I do not understand God's word, then my children may not understand God's word. The more you understand God's word, the more your children will understand because you know how to teach them. Okay? So as for you, like Daniel, Michael, Christopher, you people are very fortunate. I didn't know Jesus Christ until at the age of 28 years old. 28. You know, if I'm your age and memorize Bible verses, this is how fortunate you are. Okay? So this is the right thing to do, to obey your parents in the Lord, for your parents did exactly what the Lord required of him to do. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. As a parent, we should not teach anything that contradicts the word of the Lord to our children. Okay? If you did that, you exasperate your children. And as children, it is the right thing for children to obey your parents in the Lord. And verse 2, honor your father and mother. Is there any benefit of that? Yes, there's a benefit. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What kind of promise? God gave it to us. It may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. It may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Okay. So, is any other question? Now, I'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How do I love the Lord with all my heart? How do I love the Lord with all my soul? How do I love the Lord with all my strength? By following his commandment. Verse 6. This commandment that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. First of all, in verse 6, this commandment that I give you today are to be upon your heart. You have to memorize it. Once you memorize it, then you can impress them on your children. If your children find out that you don't memorize yourself, how can you encourage him to memorize it? If he find out, wow, my daddy loved the word of the Lord. My mother loved the word of the Lord. And he see the blessing. Go well with them. And they live a long life on earth. They see the blessing. And they will follow after their parents. So first of all, as a parents, we have to do it ourselves. Make sure that God's commandment are to be upon our heart. And then you impress them, impress the word of the Lord on your children. Encourage them. Encourage them to memorize it. First of all, you memorize it. And then you encourage your children to memorize it. Okay? And teach them so that they understand what they memorize. Talk about them. Talk about the Word of God. I tell you what's a cool thing to do. When you learn anything, good promise, God's promise, a good one, you text message to your friend. I say, I found something is good today in my daily devotion. I want to give it to you. And that is a cool thing to do. Instead of texting messages to your friend and ask them to go to 7-Eleven at a certain time, certain place, and rob them. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you receive this kind of message, you should say, thou shalt not steal. Because that's against the Ten Commandments. It's no good. People do things against the Lord. They thought, wow, they just steal something from 7-Eleven. But the Bible say, thou shalt not steal. Right? Isn't it? Let's take a look at the eight commandment. The eight commandment in chapter 5, Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 19. You shall not steal. When someone text messages to you to go to 7-Eleven to rob them, you say, you shall not steal. You're not just robbing the 7-Eleven. You are against the word of the Lord. Okay? Impress the word of the Lord on your children and talk about the word of the Lord when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. Make use of every opportunity. When you see something is not right, it's a golden opportunity for you to teach your children. When you lie down, when you get up, talk about the word of the Lord to your children all the time. That is what Paul say. Train them up, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You understand? When you watch TV with your children, when you see something in the news that's not right, you give him a commentary. Give them the explanation. What is right, what is not right. So that they know what is cool, what's not cool. Okay? You're not teaching. The whole world is teaching your children. Through movie, through news, and stuff like that. You know? Verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your forehead. Remember, Joyce, you asked me the question when you see the Jewish guy, the medical doctor, at the beginning of his work schedule, he go to the chapel to pray. Remember that? You see that he put a box in his forehead? You ask me, what is that? That is what it is. In a box, suppose inside the box, there's scripture in there. You put a box in the forehead, you open the box, take the scripture out, read it, and put it back. And the best way is what? Memorize it. When you memorize it, then it's in your forehead. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when that Jewish guy put a box inside the forehead, you ask me what it is, right? As a children, we want to know why he's doing what he's doing, you know? And then it is the golden opportunity for you as a parent to say to your children, what he's trying to do is memorizing God's word and then using that God's word, God's promise, to pray to God. And God will answer our prayer. Because that's what he say. You understand? Same, you know, when you read this scripture, you know it's your requirement as a parent to teach your children. Then you're going to pray and say, Lord, I don't know much about your word. Could you open up my mind? Give me insight that I have a better understanding of your scripture. And so that I can teach my children. By praying like this, you think the Lord will not answer your prayer? Isn't it you require me to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Now I want to do exactly what you require of me to do. And now I want to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Would you train me first? Would you instruct me first so that I know how to train them and instruct them? The Lord say, okay, I will do that. Do you understand? And then the Bible say, verse 8, tie them as symbols on your hands. And also what? Bind them on your forehead. Verse 9. Write them on the door frames of your houses. What does it mean by write them on the door frame? When you go to a Jewish, okay, here I show it to you. That's the door to the basement, eh? Assuming this is the door to the front entrance, okay, to the house. The Jewish people, they have at a 45 degree, they put a box in here, okay? And then inside the box, there's scripture too. Unfortunately, they use it as a decoration now. You know, when you walk around, When you see a dog, when you see a at a 45 degree box there, you know this inside this house is a Jewish family. As a parent, what the parent should do before he enter into his house, he open up the box and read the scripture and try to memorize it. Of course, the first day you won't memorize it, but if you do it 10 times, for sure you will understand. Same as you fill the application form. The application form require you to write the address of your home. You know, if you just move to a new home, you may not know the address. But if you fill in the application form for 10, for sure you remember that. You understand? Same, in the same theory. You open the box, take a look at the scripture, read it a few times, and put it back, and then enter into your house. When you enter into your house, the word of God is still fresh in your heart, still fresh in your mouth, then you teach your children, that's what the Lord say, let's do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gate. So when you go to Jerusalem and when you go to Israel, you see that in every city gate, at the top of the city gate, you see scripture right there down. So in other words, when you enter into the city or when you leave the city, you read the word of the Lord. When you get out, you're doing business, right? Probably he say, well, just be fair. When you do any trading, be fair to your customer and stuff like that. Okay? So, or maybe the Lord say, I love justice. I want you to be just when you're doing your business with your client. Okay? Okay, go back. Now let's talk about the relationship between slave and master. Now there's no slave, there's no master, and now we talk about employer and employee relationship, or employee and supervisor relationship. Brother and sister, if you learn it well, in verse 5 all the way to verse 9, you'll be a good supervisor, you'll be a good employer, and you're going to get promotion. Follow after this principle, you not only be able to keep the job that you got, at the same time, your employee will love you, and you get promotion, and you not only gain favor in the sight of man, in the sight of your supervisor, you gain favor among all of your colleagues. Verse 5, slave, like employee, obey your earthly masters, obey your earthly employer, your earthly supervisor, with respect and fears, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Verse 6, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slave of Christ doing the will of God from your heart. When you obey them from your heart. When your supervisor is around, then you take coffee break exactly 15 minutes. When your supervisor is not around, you take coffee break 60 minutes. That's no good. Can you imagine? Just imagine, okay? Assuming your supervisor is not around, you're working with your colleague, and if you are not doing fast enough, that means your colleague has to do the rest, do more, right? So he's not going to be happy with you. And when you tell him that you are churchgoer, you go to ABC Church, and then you hear the pastor saying, invite your friends to come. And you say, and then Gabriel invite your colleague to come. Colleague say, no, I don't want to be a Christian like you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because you don't have a good witness in front of your colleague. Assuming Your colleague is very hardworking, very, very successful. And one of these days, he become his own employer. He become his own boss. He set up a company. You think he will hire you? You know that when a supervisor is not around, give you take coffee break 30 minutes to 1 hour? He say, that guy, I won't hire him. You understand what I'm trying to say? You destroy your own future. Okay? So in here, what do we learn? We learn to obey our earthly master as if we obey the heavenly master, Jesus Christ. And when we obey them with fear and trembling, with respect, with sincerity of heart. What do you mean by with sincerity of heart? With sincerity of heart is when they are not around, you obey. When they are around, you obey. And no different. Because you know that. When he is not around, our Lord Jesus Christ is around. He watching over me. He know exactly what did I do. I don't just want to please the earthly master. I want to please my Lord, our Heavenly Father. You understand what I'm trying to say? By doing so, people will say, you have Jesus Christ in your heart. He really watching over you. And I tell you one thing, if you do that, you will be successful. Whoever become a boss, when he get promotion, to get transferred from another department, he going to say, Gabriel, I want you to go with me. When he get promotion, you get promotion too. Because supervisors love to work with those who are hardworking, who obey their master with sincerity of heart, with fear and trembling, and with respect. Not just when their eye is on you, then you obey. When they are away, then you don't obey. Because a lot of people are watching you. I would like to remind you one more thing. When your company give you an office, and you can close the office and do whatever you like, but make sure you don't go to the office using the office hour to search the internet in your computer. Because if your supervisor wants to fire you, he can get into your computer and find out exactly what did you do. You understand what I'm trying to say? You will destroy your own life. Make sure whatever you do in the computer, it is related to the work. Because he can find out exactly how many minutes you get into that website. When he collect this kind of information, he can fire you. You hear me? Secondly, when you have your own office, like when you get promotion, company give you a phone, a telephone. There's no restriction. You can call to Hong Kong, you can call to China. But never use company phone to call any other place other than what is related to your work. Oh, I'm going to call my uncle in mainland China to talk or to share the gospel. Don't ever do that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He will fire you. Okay? A lot of people will trap you, I tell you. Because the telephone that inside your office, each phone has a line. Each line has an account. And he know how many minutes you spend on the phone. When I evaluate the employee, whether I should promote him to give him a pay raise, I read through this kind of report. You're wasting my time, you're wasting my money, I don't give you a promotion. I don't give you a pay raise. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I give you another illustration. if the boss want to fire you because of the labor law, you cannot fire an employee without giving advance warning. So during the evaluation, annual evaluation or semi-annual evaluation, he's going to give you instructions, say, well, in this area you got to improve. He write it down. At the end of the evaluation, he wants you to sign that. You have to sign it, right? Whether you agree or not, you have to sign it. You don't agree, you can argue with that, okay? But when you find out that your boss is not happy with you in certain area, you find out if it's your fault, you want to turn around, you turn around. When he keep that record is a record to terminate your employment to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Be very, very careful. When your supervisor say, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that, if you think he just accused you, it's not true, then you must be looking for a job. If you think it's you're at fault, you better change it. Because with this kind of record, you go to another company, you'll be fired also. Brother and sister, I want you to be successful in your own career. Okay? Make sure you have a very, very good relationship with supervisor. Don't ever bypass your supervisor and complain to the boss. The reason why the boss has a supervisor, because the boss did not have enough time to deal with each and every individual. He sees certain men is good men, is trustworthy. That's why he promotes him to be supervisor. When the company has a financial difficulty, the boss is going to call the supervisor to the office and ask the supervisor, which one can I get rid of? You let me know. If you don't respect the supervisor, you don't deal with him with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart, he's going to name your name in the top of the list. Do you understand? When a person becomes a supervisor, he earned that. He earned that respect from the boss. The boss will listen to him. You know what I mean? The boss will say such a thing. Tell me which one you can get rid of. At the same time, you can handle the shortage of staff. Your supervisor knows exactly what you do. Everything that you do, he can do it. He can get rid of you. You understand? Make sure you have good relationship with your supervisor. How do you earn the respect from your supervisor? Obey your supervisor not only to win his or her favor when their eyes is on you, but like slave of Christ doing the will of God from your heart. Verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. When you serve the company, you serve wholeheartedly. Give him 100%. As if you're serving for your own company. Right? If this is your own company business, your own business, you're going to work very hard. You know what? If this company is your own company, you look at the clock, oh, 5 o'clock, you may not have to leave at 5 o'clock because you haven't finished the task. It's only 5 minutes more or 10 minutes more. You must well finish it. Don't worry about that 5-10 minutes. Just finish it. Because it takes you less time to do it now than tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you forget. Okay? So serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man. Verse 8. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. whether he is slave or free. Remember that if you are faithful in serving your earthly master, earthly supervisor, and you serve wholeheartedly, and you obey with sincerity of your heart, obey with respect and fear, you follow the God's command, you follow His instruction, you train yourself to follow that, it takes time. Well, one of these days, you're going to learn it really, really well. When you do it well, the Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you not only in the present time, also in the future. I want you to write it down right beside, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Circle the word reward and write down 1 Timothy chapter 4, the latter part of verse 7 to 8. 7b, 4, 7b, 1 Timothy, 4, 7b to 8. Right beside, the Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Why would the Lord reward you? Because when you train yourself to be godly, you train yourself not to steal the company time, you train yourself to serve wholeheartedly, you train yourself to obey your earthly master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ and obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slave of Christ doing the will of God from your heart. When you do it well, you train yourself to be godly, doing exactly what Jesus would do. The Lord will bless you right now and also in the future. Chapter 4, verse 7b. Train yourself to be godly. Follow God's instruction. How to be good employee, good Christian employee. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The Lord not only will reward you with promotion, with favor from your earthly master right now, the Lord also reward you when you see Him face to face. He's going to call you good and faithful servant. Why would the Lord will bless you in the future too? Because if you are a good employee, you have good influence to all your colleagues. Because you get promotion, you can lead them to Christ. You understand what I'm trying to say? Gabriel, do you understand? Does it make sense? You want to be successful in your career? It's more important than studying. Follow this instruction. This is good stuff. Okay? So what about, like, do you remember what I say? What would the supervisor do in the annual evaluation? He's going to look at how you're going to spend your time on the telephone, on the internet, right? Oh, he found out Gabriel, you know, every coffee break, you know, from 10 o'clock all the way 10:30 talking to his wife. Then that's no good. You can talk to your wife during the lunchtime. Okay? You hear me? Okay. So you're happy that you have a wife, right? So what make you laugh? What make you smile? The example, okay. Okay, let's go back. Brother and sister, if you train yourself to be godly, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. When the Lord say, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free, that is what he promised us, and that's exactly what he do. That's why in verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8 of Ephesians, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he's slave or free. Now talk about employer or supervisor and master. Treat your slave, treat your employee, treat your subordinate in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. Our Lord God Almighty is in heaven. So that's why our Lord see everything, how you treat your employee. He wants you to treat your employee with fairness, with mercy, with grace. And master, treat your slave in the same way. Do not threaten them. It's not because you signed a check that you can threaten him, I can fire you and stuff like that. Don't say this kind of thing. Since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the true earth, is the true heavenly master. He's the master of the earthly master. He's the master of you also. And there's no favoritism with him. If you treat your employee with fairness, with justice, with mercy, the Lord will treat you with mercy, with grace, with love too. Okay? It's a two-way street. So Gabriel, could you tell me what do you learn? What have you learned? As a supervisor first? So he hear everything that you say, right? When you're being gracious and merciful to your subordinate, and then you ask him to go to church, then probably he will. Right? Because they are probably your God is merciful and gracious too. Right? By being gracious to him, he opened door for you to what? To share the gospel to them. He softened their heart to receive Jesus. And he may ask you one of these days, say, Gabriel, how come you're so kind to me? You say, well, because my heavenly master is really kind to me. I want to introduce my master to you. And you come to our church and listen. You understand? Do not threaten him. Be merciful. Be gracious. Train your employee. If your employee are good at his work, then you get glory too. Because those people under your team perform really, really well. Right? Then you're a good team leader. As an employer, we got to know our stuff. Know our stuff in such a way that we can train other people and do it well. If your employee are successful, you are successful. Don't hide them, you know, from anything that you know. Teach them to the best of your knowledge. Do you want to work for someone who doesn't know his stuff? You don't want that, right? You got that? So what about as an employee? Joyce? What do you mean by with sincerity of heart? remember that our Lord Jesus Christ up there and see everything. We want to please our Lord. So Donald, tell me, as an employer and employee, both, tell me what do you learn? As an employer first.
As an employer, you shouldn't be threatening your employees because God is watching you.
Yep. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us, and I pray that you be merciful to each and every one of us, because one of these days we're going to give an account to you. And you're going to judge us according to what we have done, especially you will reward everyone the good things that we have done, whether we are employee or employer. And help us to remember what you have said to us. We know that you are the Heavenly Master. And you are watching us every day of our life. And help us to do a good job. And so as to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring people into the kingdom of God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.